This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, asking, on the fifth anniversary of the invasion, if Afghanistan has become both a jihadistan and a narcostan. The situation in Afghanistan is looking mighty grim. Casualties among American and NATO troops are up 22%. Canadian forces alone lost 22 soldiers this summer. An estimated 3,000 Afghanis have already died this year. Afghani farmers have just harvested the largest ever opium crop, from which Taliban middlemen and drug lords have profited handsomely. Just as cocaine eradication programs in South America have backfired, so has the destruction of poppy fields, with no reasonable crop substitute, drawn farmers back to opium and back to the Taliban. It is primarily drug money that supports Islamic militants, who now control 20 districts in 4 southern provinces. In addition to hit-and-run attacks, the Taliban have learned to employ another terribly effective weapon, the suicide bomber. In 2002, there were only 2 such attacks, but today there are almost 7 per month. On September 18th, two U.S. soldiers were killed by a truck bomber only 1 block from the American embassy in Kabul. Bush had good reason to invade Afghanistan, because we knew that Osama bin Laden planned the 9/11 attacks, and we knew that he and his followers had sought refuge with the Taliban. Because of these facts, we had strong international backing for this military operation. In fact, NATO is leading the counterinsurgency effort there today. Instead of finishing the mission with a focused effort to apprehend bin Laden, Bush lost his focus and pulled out troops and equipment to invade Iraq. Furthermore, there was never an effort to pacify and secure the South, where the Taliban had its base of support. An article in USA Today states that NATO forces are walking up to a situation where they might fail because the U.S. did not invest enough troops and money to create stability and a non-opium economy. Attacks near the border with Pakistan have tripled because the Taliban and Al-Qaeda members have enjoyed safe haven in the lawless province of Waziristan, which now has been nicknamed Jihadistan. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf, a military dictator, has withdrawn his troops from Waziristan, where 500 of them have been killed by the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. When Bush boasts that he and Musharraf are on the terrorist hunt together, he must have had his vice president's advice about safe hunting partners. Musharraf has been especially shifty with regard to the Taliban, who were initially supported by Pakistan's spy agency. Many of the Taliban fighters were trained in religious schools in Pakistan, and the Taliban continues to have strong support among conservative Pakistanis, especially the Pashtun tribe, of which most of the Taliban are members. NATO forces have been successful in killing hundreds of insurgents, but the survivors hide their weapons to fight another day, along with eager new recruits. NATO commanders now realize that they have to follow the clearing of villages, with improvement in security and living conditions, or the militants will simply come back again. The Pashtuns, who make up most of the Taliban today, have a reputation for courage and violent resistance, which for centuries has served them well in defending themselves against invading armies coming over the Hindu Kush from Central Asia. In 1930, tens of thousands of these fierce Pashtuns, under the leadership of the frontier Gandhi, Abdul Ghaffar Khan, used their martial discipline to resist the British nonviolently for 17 years. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there arose another frontier Gandhi who would lead Afghanistan and Pakistan to a brighter future? This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, requesting that you send your comments to nickgeyer@adelphia.net or check my website at www.nickgeyer.com.